And take two. People
they didn't have to know that, Mike. That could have been our little secret.
Hey, Derek.
Hey, Mike.
We've done this show now for, this will be the end of our fifth full season. Like for the last six seasons, we have done Cheaters Never Win. And it has been a very enjoyable ride with you. I don't know how this show is going to go if and when we ever do make the playoffs. I mean, because I see how you go back and you listen to all of the shows throughout the season and the ups and downs. And I went and I listened to a few as I was on the road this week. And it was, you know, I just don't know. I'm like, are we going to be able to physically and mentally contain ourselves when this actually happens?
We're going to be like Ricky Bobby after he won this first race. Just like, we don't know what to do with our hands. We won't know what to do with the show because I feel like when we've found our sweet spot and we've really like resonated with our audience, if we're getting all buzzwordy, is when we are at the edge of sanity and just really teetering off that cliff of just, we've had it with this team. So, yeah, when the team is having their way with the rest of the Eastern Conference, I don't know what the heck we're going to do, Mike.
Yeah.
I hope to find out. Will we ever? Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Don't go back and listen to our prediction show because...
Oh, no, but at the end of the season, I will repost all of our predictions from before the season. I'm not sure which is funnier, that I believe all of the 328 staff predicted the Hurricanes to make the playoffs, or that the majority of us picked Vegas to be the worst team in the league.
Yeah, that's... I believe I picked LA?
I don't know. I just know the majority of us picked Vegas, myself included. Somebody picked Colorado. It was not Meg.
No, absolutely not Meg. And it's just... As we look outward, Derek, tonight we're actually going to have a chance to talk to somebody who might be able to have some effect on whether it be the fan experience, whether it be the product on the ice. Who knows yet? Hurricanes president, the president of Gale Force Holdings, Don Waddell, is going to join us on the program a little bit later. We're going to ask him a few questions about everything from the in-game experience to what needs to change in the arena to really what the heck's going on with this whole GM by committee and the financials and all of the stuff that Elliot Friedman's talking about. At least we hope to ask him that, because normally we record the interview before we record the podcast, but we're kind of
We'll see how this plays out.
He may just hang up on us.
We could ask him about John Tavares. I doubt we'll get an answer because that might be tampering.
That is tampering, Derek.
Well, I can ask. Me asking part's not tampering, Mike.
Derek, put your pants on. And do me a favor.
Yeah.
Hit that damn X button.
Ow! Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the last regular season edition of Cheaters Never Win. My name's Mike.
I go by the name of Derek.
And you know, we've got a great show for you tonight. Don Waddell's going to be here. We're going to do cheat mail. We'll have a beer review. Things are picking up here a little, Derek. That's right. This is another episode of Cheaters Never Win, part of the Sports Channel 8 Podcast Network. This would be the part where Derek would make a sound, but it's still the intro, and Derek doesn't really know what to do. So we're just here, we're doing this, because Mr. Voice is way too expensive for us now, because he's gone all big time. So it's me, and Derek,
woo-hoo!
Still doing this, Cheaters Never Win, still a part of the Sports Channel 8 Podcast Network. There we go. Derek, I hope it's a good show tonight.
I do too. I guess we'll find out later when people tell us if it sucked or not.
They'll tell us it sucked.
Also, they won't tell us if it's good, probably. Won't tell us if it sucked.
Also, don't read the comments.
Never.
Never read the comments.
Never, ever, ever do that.
Yeah. So Don Waddell joining us tonight. Should be a good conversation with Don. Again, your cheat mail. Derek, I think we have the most important thing to talk about, though, that we haven't even mentioned yet. Saturday.
Oh, right. There's a little something going down Saturday.
Yeah, for those of
big
you...
Big game against the Bolts.
Yeah, big game against the Bolts. You know, potentially for the Bolts to go to or not go to the first seed in the Atlantic Division. And while your Carolina Hurricanes may not have any playoff repercussions in the game, there are repercussions for our livers because is the end of season tailgate. Derek, we talked about this and we joked about it and then we put it out there on Twitter and now we kind of have to do it. It has officially been 9 years since the Carolina Hurricanes have made the playoffs.
Mm.
And how do we celebrate or not celebrate things?
Drink.
And we throw tailgates.
Yes.
So in honor of 9 years of no playoffs, we are going to have a tailgate that begins at 9 a.m. and lasts for 9 hours. That's right. The 9x9x9 tailgate starts this Saturday, 9 a.m. Folks, what are we going to have at the tailgate? Glad you asked. Yeah. We're going to have tents. Because the weather doesn't look great.
Oh, it looks awful.
Yeah.
Unless you're a duck.
That's not going to stop us.
Even if you're a duck, it's middling.
We're going to have cornhole boards because we're going to try to... Even if it's raining, we're going to have the cornhole boards.
Not a lot of slide on the bags.
We're also going to have some delicious beer that has been donated to the tailgate by our friends over in New Belgium.
This is where I should also clarify that we will have the beer there. Everyone is welcome, which we'll get to, but if we don't know you and you look like you might not be 21, we are going to card you before we let you get
beer. If you don't look like you're 35, we're going to card you for the beer.
If you don't look like a World War II veteran, we'll card you.
But so
if you don't look like you served in NAM, you might get carded.
Thanks, Jeff. So we've got beer. We also have our
good
friends.
Are you drunker than a fifth grader?
So many jokes.
That's about the extent of it for me. Sorry, Mike. You were saying about the delicious, you covered the beverages, you were getting to the food.
The delicious Donato's Pizza. Our friends at Donato's, if you guys didn't make it out to the season opening tailgate, Donato's has Nashville hot chicken pizza.
Mm-hmm. And they have other delicious pizza.
Oh, they're tiny little pepperonis on the pepperoni pizza. So
they crisp up real nice on the
about
edge.
About 1:30 somewhere in there, Donato's is going to deliver a truckload of pizzas to us, basically. And then one of our friends, who we don't want to put a lot of pressure on, he said he'd rather under-promise and over-deliver. Supposedly, we're going full pig picking for the second half of the tailgate, and we should have a hog ready to eat about 3:30.
That all sounds delicious.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be delicious. So it's going to be friends. Come one, come all. Everyone's allowed to come. People who are not buttholes are allowed to stay. Wait a second. This isn't the FCC. This isn't the new sports channel. Isn't the new Sports Channel 8 show over on 99.9 The Fan from 9 to 11 every Saturday.
Yeah, this is not that show. We can say assholes. So if you're an asshole, we might ask you to leave.
Yeah.
We haven't had that happen yet.
No.
But we just want to make that known that it's there. But yeah. This is your invitation. If you're listening to this podcast, if you've seen the tweets about it, if you just go to the blog of your own volition and you've seen us talk about the tailgate, that is your invitation to join us in the East Lot grass as early as 9. You're going to want to be there by 3-4 at least. The Jaeger Pass happens at around 6 o'clock, and that is a massive undertaking we've learned now. But while we will have food and beer, if there's things that you like to, that you know you want to drink that day, or you know you want to eat that day,
we won't have enough beer for everybody. We're going to say that right now. We have a little bit of beer. We don't have enough beer for everybody.
Oh, not at all. So bring those things.
Yeah, bring what you want to eat. Bring what you want to drink. Contribute to the party if you like, but we should have a goodly amount of foods.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. Even if the game itself or the season itself has been less than entertaining, I always look forward to these tailgates. I always look forward to seeing who shows up, seeing folks that we see once, twice a year, meeting new people. I truly do enjoy it, and we don't just say that the invitation is open to everyone. We truly mean it. Please come out. If you've been before, we'd love to see you again. If you've never been to one of our tailgates, please come say hello. We love meeting new people and talking hockey or talking whatever the hell at a tailgate with you.
Kubernetes and containers on Amazon Web Services.
Okay, you lost me on that one, Mike. I cannot talk that with you.
The guy who's cooking the pig would have completely got that joke.
Cool.
This is what happens. It's just a slow descent into madness. Like,
are we going to break down our power plays chances against the Flyers kill? No, that doesn't matter. No one cares.
Yeah, I mean, can we talk about the Florida game? Who cares? We lost in the third period.
Hockey guys did some hockey things.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Kudos to the folks over at Canes Country, by the way. That was their best recap of the year, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you haven't gone on over to it, go check out the Canes recap, the Canes Panthers game recap over at CanesCountry.com. It is everything.
And I don't say this often about anybody's work, but I agree with every single word they put in that recap.
Every single word.
So go check it out.
Derek, we're pantomiming here, or we're soft shoeing, or whatever the word is. I think we have a guest.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than waste all of these good people's time, we've talked about the tailgate. Let's just go to our guest. Ladies and gentlemen, it is our pleasure to welcome back to the Cheaters Never Win podcast, president of Gale Force Holdings, the president of your Carolina Hurricanes, Mr. Don Waddell. We're not allowed to call him Mr. He's yelled at us before. Don, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. Thank you for having me on.
No, we're absolutely glad to have you. Lots of stuff, obviously, going on in the organization since Tom Dundon has purchased the team. Lots of changes have come on board. I'd love to hear from you. What is your favorite change that the organization has made under Tom's new leadership so far?
Well, I think the biggest thing, you know, Tom brings a very passive and dedicated commitment to the franchise and to the region of the Raleigh area. And I think he's pushed people hard, but in a positive way, because, you know, he knows that we've had some uphill battles, some huge challenges, but he likes to also give you an opportunity to make yourself better. And I really think his involvement, and nothing against Pete Karmanos, who is a great owner for us, but it's a different style, where here Tom says, call me directly. You know, you don't have to go through me to call Tom. If you're Mike Foreman, my senior director of marketing, you can call Tom directly. And I think your employees like that communication directly with the owner.
Yeah, we've enjoyed the candor we've gotten from him, and the same candor we've always gotten from you every time we've heard you speak to us or to someone else here. You know, Mike and I are fans, and we've had season tickets for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years now. And renewals came out recently, and after all the promos that went out last year, and, you know, some people were in love with them, some people had their hesitations with them, some people had their grievances with some of the promotions to get folks into the building, with the assurance of things will be done for season ticket members. Have we seen everything that's being done, or is there more in the pipeline to help entice people who have had season tickets for a while to renew and or bring more folks into the barn?
Well, I know it was a hot topic, and we debated internally how to handle this. You know, it's the first time we haven't had a true price increase at all at any level. What I believe is happened one other time in the history of the franchise. You know, if you roll back, you know, a few dollars, I think it works against you, because people say, well, that they're, you know, you go back, you know, 5%, people think you should have went back 10%. So, you know, we debated that internally and thought, you know what, we've never been flat like this. Let's stay flat with everybody. Let's try to increase some of the fan engagement and fan experiences that go along with that. You know, the part about we went through some areas where we tested some things. You know, Tom openly admits, you know, he wanted to test some things and see if it would work. Obviously, some things worked, some didn't. But it's interesting, because we just did a report in the last 24 hours, which showed that of those, we went on those $40 tickets for whatever it was, 6-7 games. We've turned that into almost $300,000 in new season tickets. And wow. To me, if you're going to run those kind of specials, I think you can only do them once in a while, you know, the Black Friday type things. It's what is return on, it's not so much the dollars you're getting at that point, but you're getting people interested in Carolina hockey that maybe didn't have that much interest, and turning them into some kind of plan. So it's been interesting to follow, and the data shows right now that we've had some success with it. Doesn't mean we can do it again. We may never do it again. But Tom came in thinking, you know, we got to get more people in the building. We ran some specials. You know, we heard some of the feedback from our current customers. And now we're just trying to take advantage of getting those new people on board as plan holders.
Yeah, and Don, you mentioned again, and I think I see it just from a business perspective. You've got to protect your base, but you've also got to get more people in the building. And we definitely see what I believe is to be a drive to get new fans and new people into the building. But for those of us who have been here through the ups and the downs, one of our listeners reached out to us and said, you know, one question I'd love to hear Don answer is what are we buying besides hope? You know, if all we've bought on for the last 5 or 6 years is the hope that we're going to be better this year, what's different this year? What am I buying besides hope?
Well, I think you're looking at a whole change of direction from ownership standpoint. You know, again, Pete Carmona has brought me in here, tremendous owner, let us all do our jobs. You know, Tom comes in here, spends $250 million in a business that he doesn't know anything about, but good passion about it, and realizes that we need to make change. And the change is just not off the ice, it's on the ice. I think with the new owner, you got a 46, 47 year old guy that's been very successful in life. He's got a vision that's much different than probably what we've seen around here over the last few years, whether that's 5 years, 10 years, and he's going to be involved. And I think that's the thing that's driving us all right now. I'm excited about it. I got to be honest, sitting in my position, it's a challenge at times because we're trying to do 2,000 things in 24 hours. But it's also, I see where the big benefit of having an ownership like Tom owning the team that's got great passion and great drive to make us the best franchise we can, both on and off the ice.
Yeah, and Don, you mentioned Tom's ownership style, and I wanted to kind of bridge off to that onto you've been in hockey for a long time. Tom's new to the world. You know, I would almost kind of consider you part of the hockey old guard. And as Tom comes in and he does things his way, he's very analytical, but he's very driven, and he's quick to make decisions. I feel like we may be seeing some blowback or some feedback, particularly from, you know, traditional Canadian media outlets who aren't used to these types of things being made. As you look at that, knowing that you can't let media drive your decision-making process, is there any fear in the front office about some of the things that have been said, whether it be, you know, the correct or incorrect reports of GM contracts all the way down to how much control Don may or may not want?
Yeah, you know, if you'd asked that question 60 days ago, I'd have a different answer for you. I probably wouldn't have told you at that point. But, you know, after working with Tom for the past basically 3 months, even a month before he bought the team, you know, he openly admits, like I said, he spent a lot of money on a business that he didn't know. And he said, I got to learn this business. So he's been much more involved than he ever thought he would be or ever hopes to be. You know, his big thing is he wants to put in process, both on the business and hockey side, you know, a process, a collaboration to make decisions. Like he says, I can't tell you if you want to trade player A for player B, I can't tell you whether that's a good trade, but I'm going to challenge you to ask you how you got to that decision. What was the process that led you to make this decision? And I'm one of those guys that lived a day where you didn't have that ownership involvement. You know, professional sports is changing. It's a big business. Let's face it, it's a business first, sports second. And we've seen it in other sports, and we've seen it where it's worked and it hasn't worked so well. Hockey hasn't seen it. We have some ownerships in our league that are involved, but probably not to this extent. And like, you know, Tom's a busy guy. He's a family guy. He's got 5 kids. He's got a lot of things going on, but right now he knows this is a business that he doesn't know enough about, and he wants to learn because he can't make decisions if he doesn't understand how the business is operated. And that's the process we're going through right now. In a year from now, if we get the right people in place and the right process is going on, I think you're going to see Tom and hear from Tom, but not like you are today.
Gotcha. That's good. So I'm going to have one more follow-up, and Derek, I promise I'm not going to bogart this entire conversation. But
we'll see.
But it kind of got me thinking, Don. I'm fortunate enough. I work for a company headquartered here in Raleigh that, you know, has kind of made their lifeblood on the idea of a meritocracy that there is no bad ideas and the best ideas will always rise to the top. But we are one of the only companies kind of out there that kind of lives by that, what we refer to as the open source credo. How do you help fans understand when we look around the league, this type of thing's never worked before, and when you look at places like professional football and professional basketball, it has not only not worked, but sometimes kind of caved in upon itself. How do we as fans kind of buy into that idea of meritocracy and, you know, whether it be captainship by committee, GM by committee, how do you want us to embrace that? Help me put my arms around this whole thing.
Well, I think the big thing is, you know, everybody operates and the personalities are different. And if you have an opportunity to meet with Tom and hear Tom's vision and that, you know, I've been around owners a lot, and there's been a lot of, all these guys are successful. So to single Tom out saying he's the only successful owner, that's not true, because they're all successful. That's how they buy these big assets. But the passion that Tom has of learning the business and trying to be the best in all areas. I mean, we're hiring in the process of upgrading our business side, the hockey side. Like, he's trying to put all the resources he can in to make sure that we don't have any excuses of why we can't be the best franchise we can. So, you know, I think it all comes down to the individual. You know, I don't think, you know, Tom gets associated with Mark Cuban because they're friends. I think if you follow Mark Cuban's background and Tom's, it's way different. Tom's been, when Tom Dundon was buying the team, people were Googling him. You couldn't find anything out about Tom other than he was a Dallas real estate guy because he's been very much low-key. And that's the way Tom wants to go on with his life someday. But I think it all comes down to the individual. And you know, being around Tom for as long as I've been right now, you know, he's cut different. He's got good wealth, but great passion for making this a very successful franchise.
We all certainly share that vision and that hope as well. You know, Mike talked about, and it's certainly no secret that the Hurricanes are looking for a full-time general manager, possibly, I guess. With the timing of the changes that have happened in the organization, is there an extra challenge that is thrown your way based on when this is happening and maybe some qualified people that you'd like to speak to, you may not be able to get their time and or attention because they're in the middle of a playoff race?
Yeah, that's a good question because, you know, I think Tom initially thought he would talk to some people and somebody would jump out to him and be able to step forward. And as you said, and you're 100% right, some people are in a playoff race, you know, not knowing their situation. You know, there's going to be more, and that's why we put a hold on the hiring a new person in the last couple of weeks, because we say, let's just wait to the end of the year, let the chips fall, let everybody get settled. You know, some people think there's going to be four or five GM openings, might only be one or two, and there's 20 guys thinking they're getting those jobs. So I think the timing was probably a little restricted, and as the summer comes and into the summer, I think the pool will become a better pool for us to make a decision. Plus, if there's ever a time, and I'm not going to say that there's a time you don't need a general manager. We're past the trade deadline. We're gearing up for free agency, gearing up for the draft, which we have people in place that are doing all those things. So this is a time that we can make sure that Tom makes the right decision in the next move.
Yeah, and agree there. I think from a fan's worry perspective, again, you mentioned the draft and free agency and this being potentially such a pivotal playoff. I mean, such a pivotal offseason, understanding how that's going to be done. So our understanding is those decisions are going to be made by committee. If this process goes on through mid to late June, how will that draft process look, Don, at the draft table for the Carolina Hurricanes?
Well, we certainly have a director of amateur scouting. We have Darren York, who is oversees all the amateur scouting. So, you know, just like every other year, we'll have scouting meetings in May, come up with our list, which our scouts put together. That's what they work on all year. The list will be somewhat finalized, and we'll do more interviews between that May timeframe and the draft. So, you know, when we go to the draft table, regardless of who's in charge at this point, you know, the scouts are doing their job and our player personnel people, they're going to be prepared. And at the end of the day, I don't think anything will get missed at this point. And somebody will finally have to make a decision if there's any kind of debate about the player we're going to take. But you're also going to look at the organization and what positions are needed the most.
Don, naming specific names, which free agents should we get? No, I'm just kidding.
That would be good. That would only cost us. It would cost Tom $1 million and a couple draft picks. It might be my first time I've talked to you guys in this position, but I've done this job for a few years before. So.
Told you, Derek, you're not breaking the man.
Look, I can ask. He can't answer. Much lighter note. You mentioned all the different changes that are going on, and I can imagine that could add a little bit of stress to your days, even though it can be exciting to work for a new owner. But, we know you're not a beer guy. You do enjoy a glass of red wine. At the end of the day, you're heading home. What's a bottle of wine that you want to crack open that you could recommend to some folks who enjoy wine and enjoy this podcast?
Well, first, if you're going to drink red wine, how do you go past Unmasked?
How do you go past what? I'm sorry?
Unmasked.
I don't know that one.
Derek, challenge wine. Accepted. We have to go find a bottle of Unmask.
Yeah, and you know who's on the cover of Unmask?
Oh, gosh. I forgot. That is a certain goaltender's wine.
Yeah, Cam Ward's wine. It's excellent. It's excellent. But then we all probably can't afford Cam's wine.
That's why I don't know it.
But I'm a Pinot Noir guy. I'm on the light side of the red wines. So the Penner Ash, the Alexander, those are two of my favorites, along with Ken Wright.
Yeah, those are good stuff. If I had one varietal that I had to drink for the rest of my wine drinking career, it would probably be Pinot Noir. So I highly commend your decisions on that one.
And Derek's currently drank enough red wine to he's considering putting his name in for the draft this year. So considering going professional.
Oh, good. Perfect.
Don, we can't say thank you enough for taking a few minutes out of your very busy day with everything that you've got going on here late into the evening. Last question from us, and then we'll let you go. I thought this was kind of a fun one. As we look at the playoffs that are ramping up, there is a certain franchise, the Atlanta Thrashers, who have never won a playoff game. They've moved to Winnipeg, and they look to be lined up to finally be making that playoff run. As you kind of, do you look wistfully onto your old employer, your old franchise, and for the fact they finally may crack the goal this year? Or is that kind of so far in the past that you're just like, heck with those guys, I could care less?
No, 100% the other way. There's eight players still playing there that we either drafted or traded, for, the Dustin Bufflins and Sean Willers and Blake Willers. And, there's lots of guys that we were involved in, plus a lot of my staff. The Kevin Cheveldayoff, who's the GM there, was my GM of my farm team for 10 years. And the assistant GM, Larry Simmons, was my assistant GM for 11 years in Atlanta. So I got a lot of ties there. I hope them the most success possible because, again, when you know people, and I know they've had a hard time, it's nice to see them having some success. And I know they got a good hockey team, and they've done a good job up there continuing to build that hockey team.
Yeah, it's that Winnipeg team right now is a lot of fun. We'd be lying if we didn't say that second round matchup of Nashville versus Winnipeg doesn't have us licking our chops, knowing that the Carolina Hurricanes are going to be part of that playoff next season, Don, because of all the great work you and Tom and the entire organization are going to do in the offseason. So again, sir, thank you very much for taking some time out of your evening to talk about some serious and maybe some less serious stuff with us. We really do appreciate it, sir.
No, Mike and Derek, always a pleasure being with you guys, and look forward to seeing you in the arena.
We'll see you on Saturday. Hey, Don, you may not have heard, we're throwing a little tailgate out on the East Lawn on Saturday. It's only going to be 9 hours. Come on by.
9 hours. Hopefully we're not going to get rain. I looked at the forecast today. I was hoping that we have a great day on Saturday.
Rain or shine, we will be there at 9 a.m. We'll see you, Don.
All right, buddy.
Don Waddell, very gracious with his time, staying on the phone with us well after 6:30 p.m. After right before the conversation, Don told us he had spent the last 4 hours on the phone with Tom Dundon.
That had to be a pretty in-depth conversation.
Yeah, we told him just conference us in next time. We're here.
We'll interview both of them.
Or just bounce ideas off of us.
Yeah. Or It'd be the most listened to podcast we've ever done.
Sign John Tavares. He can't say it. I will. Sign John Tavares, Donnie. Mm-hmm. Sign him. Go get him.
And, you know, when we started off, it wasn't just a bit when we said, you know, we don't call him Mr. Waddell. I've made that mistake a couple of times walking around the arena, seeing him like, hey, Mr. Waddell, how you doing? You know, Derek from 328, because this is after we had him on the podcast the first time, and he doesn't exactly see faces through a podcast.
Right.
And he's like, it's Don. Don't call me Mr. Waddell. I won't answer the next time you say that.
Yeah.
I said, okay, Don.
Yeah, good to know. Don Waddell, phenomenal human being. Glad that he is the head of organization, and I'm looking forward to what comes out next, because as Tom and Don have both said, I don't think the changes are done. I still think there is a whole lot of changes. I think there are a lot of people at 1400 Edwards Mill Road who are worried about their job, and probably rightfully so after you've had 9 years of somewhat stagnant growth in the hockey market. I foresee a lot of changes coming by the time we see both the on and off ice product, whether it be marketing, whether it be whatever, you know, the in-game arena experience, the fan experiences. Things are changing, hopefully for the better.
And I certainly am a little more worried than you would pick up from Don's voice and his answer about the timeliness of us hiring a new GM. I think that new GM really needs to be in place before June, ideally. I mean, I think they need to get a firm grip on what this organization has, what are the strengths, what are the is, what are the weaknesses. And
the weaknesses
really,
are goaltending, and, Derek.
Well... is that it, though?
The Canadian media would like you to believe that our weaknesses are goaltending.
I mean, it's the biggest weakness, but, you know, where do we go from there? Anyway, I don't really care to get into the hockey side of things and the analysis.
We are so Hurricanes penalty killing the rest of this podcast and just freaking mailing it.
We are Justin Falking this podcast.
Yeah. Oh, my butt hurt. Speaking
on the
of...
injury report listed, healthy scratch, butt hurt.
Yeah. Justin Falk will not be a member of the Carolina Hurricanes next season.
Calling your shot?
Calling my shot. Also,
so who's going to be the other captain then?
Jordan Staal.
No. We have to have two.
No, we don't. Derek, also, calling Carolina Hurricanes will either win one of the top three positions in the draft lottery or will trade out of the first round.
Mm-hmm.
So there it is. Calling my shots. Go ahead and everybody time mark that. Go ahead and play that back when I'm wrong, because I most certainly will be, because I'm very, very rarely right.
It's what we do on this podcast.
Yeah. You know what else we do on this podcast?
What's that?
We take people's cheat mail. Cheat mail. Gotta go get that cheat mail.
Oh, shit. I didn't have my phone ready.
I know. I was like,
caught me off guard with that, Mike. Hang on.
Put Derek on the spot, and he's like, what?
Let me pull up the phone. Damn it. This is the part of the show where people love watching me or listening to me scroll through Twitter.
Hey, Derek, I have one for you.
Okay, good.
Which would be more enjoyable in early April? Canes against Tampa Bay in the first round of the playoffs, WrestleMania, or winning a solo in Fortnite?
Oh, that's a good question. Who is that from?
That is from our friend Ed. He is that Edmund guy.
Okay. Oh, God. I mean, Canes against anybody in the first round of the playoffs would be the most enjoyable thing I could think of on that list.
But Tampa? I mean, that's... Whew.
I don't care.
Okay, yeah, I mean, you're right. You're right.
I don't care. Anybody can beat anybody.
But what if it's Rock and Cena at WrestleMania?
I have seen that twice. And for a once-in-a-lifetime event, that's twice as many times as I planned.
Okay. All right. Did I soft-shoe that one enough for you?
Yeah, no, you did. So I would most enjoy... the Canes against Tampa Bay in the first round of the playoffs. And because this was only a which would be most enjoyable, that's my answer.
That is the correct answer. Although I hear winning a solo in Fortnite is fun.
Never played Fortnite.
You don't, because it will suck you life.
I'm probably the one. This from our buddy Al Hood at Al B. Hood. Will the Canes be able to hire a new GM in time to make big moves around the draft and day one of free agency?
The Canes will make moves. I do not know if the ability to hire a GM early in the process is going to affect that, because Tom Dundon's not going to let it affect it.
Fair enough.
Derek, let's go to... Oh, gosh, I just had it here. This one's from our buddy Carl Smith. He is NSC, he's something.
N-scale Carl.
N-scale Carl. Okay. What's your thoughts on GM by committee?
Don't like it.
What's your thoughts on Joel becoming our coach?
Joel McHale?
No. Joel
Quinn. Joel Embiid? I would love to have Joel Embiid as our head coach. That'd be fantastic. Just slide up in Rihanna's DMs during a breakout.
The problem is, though, he'd only be able to coach like 42 games a season before he got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, look, that'd be about the effort we get from some guys. I assume he means Joel Quenneville. I keep hearing that Chicago might be really stupid and fire him. I hope they're really stupid and fire him. And if so, I hope Tom Dundon is ready to break out the checkbook to pay Joel Quenneville. I actually looked today on Cap Friendly at coaches' salaries. They don't have every coach listed, but they have Joel Quenneville's salary listed. He's the second highest paid coach in the league. Obviously, Babcock's the highest. Mike, what do you think Joel Quenneville's getting paid this season?
I think Joel Quenneville's making about $6 million this season, isn't he?
That is bang on the number.
Thank you.
Which, from what
because if anybody's banging on Joel Quenneville, it's me.
From what we heard on the 31 Thoughts podcast with Jeff Merrick and Elliot Friedman, awesome listen, Bill Peters is making 1.2. So we'd have to come up fivefold on that.
No, to get Joel Quenneville to come here to this team, I think you have to pay Joel Quenneville 8.5.
But think of how much further $6 million goes in Raleigh versus Chicago.
Doesn't matter. Joel Quenneville to come to Raleigh is going to he's going to demand to be the highest paid coach in the league.
All right, so make it 7. Okay. 7 in Raleigh is 10 in Chicago.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you there. I'm just saying that, you know,
we are you got to overpay
gonna,
a little bit.
Someone's going to have to pay.
That's a fair point. Damn it, my phone won't rotate. Stupid iOS. All right, this is from Carson Brewer. Never mind. He's asked us to ask something to Don Waddell. Missed that one. From everybody, Playoff Beard 80. You may know him as Dane, or you might know him as Playoff Beard 80. Cheat mail, Mike. F, Mary, Kill. GM guy committee. Multiple captains. Your season ticket rep.
I am marrying my season ticket rep because I love my season ticket rep. I would say his name on the podcast, but I don't want anybody else to have him because he is mine. He's all mine. Stay away from him. I am killing captain, multiple captains.
That is also correct.
And I am going to F the GM by committee because, again, as I said during the interview with Don, I'm very fortunate to work for a company that believes in meritocracy. And I do believe that the best ideas can rise to the top if you have a plan in place to be able to leverage them. So
you've mentioned your employer a few times on this podcast. They want to sponsor it?
No.
Okay.
No, I want to keep my employer as far away from this shit show as possible. They still send me a check every week. So, Derek, let's go over to here. This one from our one of our best friends. She is at NHL History Girl, one of the best follows on all of Twitter. Can we start a petition for the new owner to hire Jen? Yes, I will start that tonight. Second question, who do you think is the pineapple pizza-loving weirdo on this team?
See, I actually like pineapple and ham on pizza.
Well, Jen obviously thinks you're a weirdo.
And that's fine.
Jen is correct. Go ahead.
Jen's met me. She can vouch for the fact I am a weirdo. Who's most likely to enjoy pineapple on pizza? I'm willing to bet Tara Vinen has some bizarre tastes in pizza toppings.
Yeah, there's only one answer. It's Turbo.
Yeah.
You know, Turbo immediately is like, he's like, I want to pineapple. Why is he Zekoff all of a sudden?
I don't.
he wants pineapples and anchovies.
Bond villain Turbo. Jeez, Mike.
I have no idea. Yeah, that's why people listen to this podcast, Derek. The impressions.
He is also probably putting a non-anchovy fish on his pizza, right?
An entire fish. Like that big fish that you get from Brewery Bavana downtown. The giant one that everybody just picks off of.
Head, scales, it's hanging off the edges of the pizza.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I like that. Let's keep going, Derek. Let's just do this. One of these days, we're going to do just a cheat mail only episode of this. Maybe we'll do it during the offseason.
Well, you mentioned when it would be, Mike. It's going to be a Patreon exclusive. We're going to do it at the draft. So, ooh, unfortunately, like Mike, you won't be a part of that.
I will not be there. F you guys. I'm leaving.
Well, another F Mary kill from our buddy Dan McLaughlin at Kaniac176. His bride, Save by Quick, has chimed in that there's only one right answer. So, Mike, choose wisely. F. Mary Kill, first round of the playoffs edition, valid as of 11:45 this morning. Sharks versus Kings, Devils versus Caps, Bruins versus Flyers.
Okay, so I think I know the right answer to this, and Save by Quick may actually be correct here. You marry the Battle of Cali because I want to live that forever.
If only for the sweet, delicious internet content.
Yeah, and just the hatred of those guys. So I'm absolutely marrying that L.A. San Jose. The other two, Derek, were...
The other two are the Devils versus the Caps. And kill the it. Bruins versus the Flyers.
Yeah, kill that Devils Caps, because that literally does not a damn thing for me. And then I will go ahead and have sweet, delicious love with Boston Philly. Again, I
you had me with the first part, you lost me with the last two answers.
Really? So you want
the Flyers Bruins series. I'm killing that because I don't really care for either team, and I like Wayne a lot. I actively loathe Brad Marchand and his penchant for cross-checking irrelevant dudes in the face.
I want someone like Brad Marchand on this team.
I would like him on our team. Don't get me wrong, but the other series has Taylor Hall, who is scoring like a madman, and my favorite hockey player ever, Alex Ovechkin.
It's not a bad point. Not a bad point.
And because here's the other thing, Mike, you know you're only going to get to see the Caps in the playoffs for one, tops, two rounds.
Okay, so let's...
So drink it in, man.
The Pens have to play Columbus. That's going to be a very fun series, again, as we record this podcast. So if... I feel like the Caps can run roughshod over New Jersey... And there may be six or seven games Columbus Pittsburgh, and if that is indeed the case, maybe Pittsburgh's a little tired, maybe Washington's a little fresh. I don't know. I want Ovi to at least get past Pittsburgh just once.
Mm-hmm.
Just
be fun.
Yeah, I mean, if we could get, I mean, let's be honest, the Capitals versus the Ning Dynasty in the Eastern Conference Final, so much joy.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun.
So much of the joys. So
it's like kind of like that rumored Nashville-Winnipeg series. That would be very, very fun hockey.
All of the funds. Let's see here. Derek, this one from Cardiac Kane. Is Cardiac Kane welcome to join the festivities at Saturday's tailgate?
Yeah.
Everybody's welcome.
Yeah, say we talked about that earlier. Everyone is welcome. If you prove to be an asshole, we may ask you to leave. Until then, you're cool.
Yeah. Derek Cheatmail, this one coming in from M. Flanagan. Mm-hmm. Where did you get that beautiful, delicious beer in front of you?
Good work, sir, because I was actually just looking up some facts about this beer because the label doesn't talk about it. I was at Bottle Mix. That may surprise you because they have an amazing selection of beer, and Dustin is back in town from his sojourn to Europe, where he, I assume, drank delicious beers.
And sojourned.
Yes. So Dustin hooked me up. I walked in. He's like, here's what you need to drink this week on the podcast. I'm like, okay, you seem pretty confident in this, so I'll give it a shot. By the way, Mike, I don't know if you know this.
Yes, sir.
Bottle Mix is on Creedmoor Road. They're about a mile south of 540. They're a few miles north of Crabtree, behind the Wendy's, near the Moe's, where you don't get free queso.
Brennan Station.
Yes, that's the place.
Got it.
So go in and see Bottle Mix, for real. I mean, we kind of joke about where the location is, but they're a great bottle shop. They have... So many beers and so many wines and lots of delicious things on tap that you can consume while you shop through all their beers and all their wines. And go talk to Dustin, and he will recommend a beer for you that is hopefully as good as this one, if not this specific beer. But he handed this to me and said, drink this and enjoy it. It's a sour from D9 Brewing.
Ew.
No, not ew. They're out of Cornelius, North Carolina. Nothing for that one? This is a sour with passion fruit called Carnival. It's got a big, like, feathery, dancey lady on the label. It's a colorful label. It kind of stands out on the shelf. And I had to go to their website to look up a little bit of details about it. And it said this is inspired by a Brazilian dessert. It dances buoyantly on the palate with tart, heady passion fruit tangos with a smooth, sweet cream for a satisfying and even sensuous drinking experience.
Wait. A creamy, sensuous, satisfying experience?
Like, I don't know what they plan on...
All of a sudden, we just went to JC's fanfic page.
Yeah, I don't know if they plan on people doing with this beer, but I'm just going to drink it. I guess you could say, but I'm not going to stop. This beer is fantastic. If you like sours,
how's the mouth feel on that one?
Yeah, I was going to talk about it. I just want to take this beer in my mouth, and I made sure not to use pronouns there, so the drop isn't as effective. But I truly love this beer. I haven't had a good sour in a while because it's not great winter beer. But as it's starting to warm up, especially in the middle of this week, it's so good. And this sour, D9 does awesome work with sour. So I was very happy to see this. I don't know exactly what the passion fruit flavors are in this beer, but that rounded creaminess to this beer, the dessert feel that I said from this, it's almost like a meringue has been mixed with a sour.
Ooh.
The texture of it's awesome. So I won't talk about mouthfeel, but the texture of the beer is so good. It's tart, but there's bright, rounded fruit. There's a little bit of creaminess to it. It finishes both tart and sweet at the same time. And I want nothing more than to have yet another sip of this beer. It's so damn good. I think it was a couple tops, few bucks for the beer. Not much. I'm going to go buy more. I assure you of that. Comes in a 12-ounce bottle. It is 5.5% alcohol, so it's a good sipper that's not going to mess you up too much. So go ahead to Bottle Mix, talk to Dustin, talk to Bruce. Let them know that you heard about Carnival from D9 on the Section 328 Cheaters Never Win podcast. They'll point you directly to it. And we heard that we had some folks go in last week, and they're like, we want the beer that 328 reviewed from Brew Rivana. Oh, you're out of that? Well, let me get the Son of a Baptist that Derek drank a few weeks ago and Mike drank like the next week because it's so damn good. Let me get more of that. So thank you guys for going in and taking care of the folks that treat us so well.
Yeah, it's been a good year with the folks over at Bottle Mix. We're going to do, we're working on some plans right now to do a little something special with them. Maybe another live podcast, whiteboard session. Maybe we can get Pat Clark to bust out a whiteboard or something, and
we'll figure something out to make it fun.
We're gonna do something fun during the playoffs and have a little fun with no playoffs here in Raleigh. But we hope you've had fun here tonight. We hope you've had fun here this season. We don't have any big flowery words to say. Actually, we do, but I'm going to say them through a bullhorn at about 6 o'clock as I'm standing on a milk crate.
You don't need a bullhorn,
sir.
In the
middle of 150 people, so drinking well with my best friends at this Saturday's end of season tailgate. Not the last episode of the year. We've got an end of season recap we're going to have to do. We'll probably have, you know, a couple episodes during the playoffs, and then there's always the draft because the Section 328 crew is going back to the draft. We'll be bringing you everything live and direct from Dallas, and again, we'll be back here next season.
And
unlike Cam Ward.
And we are sending several folks to the draft this year, in large part thanks to all the people who support us on Patreon.
Yeah.
So we truly appreciate that. If you want to help send us to the draft and provide awesome coverage for you through the fan's eye, check us out, section328.com, click the Patreon button, and not only can you help support this podcast and send us to the draft and get some exclusive content, but we do have good rewards listed out there as well.
Yeah.
So check that out.
Sent out a few more t-shirts in the last week or two. So
sent a few out, just actually yesterday. I placed some orders and sent them out.
Beautiful. Well, guys, everyone, gals, people in general of, you know, whatever you do.
Or horses. If horses are listening to this podcast, thank you.
For anybody who plays this in the barn, thank you guys for listening. We really do appreciate it. It's been another fun season. It hasn't been the season that we wanted it to be, and we haven't been as good as we wanted to be for you, but damn it, we'll try harder next time. Until then, my name's Mike.
This is Derek.
And we're out of here.
Pyaaaaah!